May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, our Lord, our Rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. For those of us who have traveled overseas, one of the most surprising differences between the United States and other locations is often breakfast. I remember eating stir-fried noodles in Malaysia, steamed dumplings in China, beans and toast in the UK, and bread in France. But when I say France, I actually mean a very specific place in France, Thésée. Thésée is an ecumenical monastic community in France in a small village which bears the same name. Ecumenical means it's made up of brothers from different Christian denominations: Lutheran, Catholic, Anglican, Eastern Orthodox, etc. And one of the values of the community is simplicity. Thus, one has bread, dry, hard bread, for breakfast every single day. And after about 5 days of this rock-like baguette, I was ready to not see another piece of bread for weeks. Where is she going with this, you might be wondering? Well, my friends, we have entered what priests and pastors often call Brummer. Get it? Bread plus summer. Brummer. Yeah. So that means that today and for the next 4 weeks, you are going to hear all about bread in the gospel readings. Bread, 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 bread. And by the end, you too might be rethinking breakfast. In today's gospel, it's John's version of the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus was up on a mountain with his disciples when they saw great crowds flocking toward them. And knowing that members of the crowd had probably traveled many days to seek him out and were therefore likely hungry, Jesus asks Philip where they might buy bread for the people to eat. Of course, Philip fails Jesus' test by saying it would be impossible to fund such a request. There were too many people, and the expense for that amount of bread would be too great. Interestingly enough, the Thésée community experienced something similar when building its current worship space, the Church of the Reconciliation. From what I can remember of the story, it was during the 1950s that the brothers had outgrown their worship space in the little chapel down the hill. That chapel could hold about 50 people or so. And so the brothers decided to let Brother Denise, a member of the community who happened also to be an architect, design the new space. Apparently, there was a little bit of miscommunication about the intention for the design. Remember, the community values simplicity. And what Brother Denise decided to build was enormous. It could hold 2,000 people. And one of the brothers likened the construction of the new church to building Noah's Ark. The brother said something like, "What are we trying to do here? House every creature in the world?" So not only was scale an issue, but several members of the community were concerned about how to pay for it. Let's jump back to our gospel story. Philip has expressed his concern about the expense of feeding the crowds when Andrew speaks up. Andrew tells Jesus that a little boy has offered up 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And Andrew expresses doubt whether voicing this is even helpful. After all, it's a minuscule amount of food. But nevertheless, something deep inside Andrew prompted him to speak. And Jesus receives this information and tells the disciples and the crowd to sit down. And he takes the bread, and he gives thanks, and he breaks it and distributes it among the crowds. And he does the same with the fish. And miraculously, everyone has enough. What we see happening here is Jesus holding Philip's doubts about the expense and Andrew's doubts about the provisions and acting anyway. Jesus acts in faith with thanksgiving. Turning back to today, it was exactly in this time of doubt about the new church construction project that Brother Roger, the leader of the monastic community there, received a vision. His vision was that one day the new church would be so filled with people that it would burst forth at the seams. It was as if God was telling them, "If you feed them, they will come." Under Brother Roger's leadership, the brothers committed to the church construction project with faith and thanksgiving. And though they were not sure how it would be fully funded, they did what they have become famous for. They used the gifts that they had and the resources at hand to fund the project. Many of the brothers at the time kept working in their previous fields of employment to help financially support the community. Others developed new skills, selling arts or crafts. And as they began, volunteers came alongside them, offering what they could. And does this not remind you of the boy in our gospel? He presented 5 loaves and 2 fish, all that he had available for the need at hand. And so the brothers of today continued to present themselves and the resources they had until it was enough. And the church that you see there today is the same one that was consecrated in the early 1960s, with only a few modifications. And in thinking about the brothers of today and the little boy from today's gospel, I'm reminded of a line from our Rite One Eucharistic prayers. "And we earnestly desire thy fatherly goodness to accept this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, whereby we offer and present unto thee, O Lord, ourselves, our souls, and bodies." It is not only the bread and wine that we bring to the table at the Eucharistic feast, but our full selves. We are to present all that we have available to us, all that we are. One of the things that makes John's version of the feeding of the 5,000 unique is that Jesus gave thanks for the bread. The verb in that phrase, "when he had given thanks," is the Greek verb eucharisteo. And our word Eucharist comes from eucharisteo, and it means to give thanks. So if you've ever wondered why our bulletin says "the great Thanksgiving" when we enter the Eucharistic part of the service, that's why. So John's gospel is unique because eucharisteo is used to indicate Jesus gave thanks before breaking and distributing the bread. In all the other gospels, there's a form of the verb eulogeo instead, and that means to bless. Also distinctive in John's gospel is that Jesus does the distributing. In the other gospels, Jesus passes the bread to the disciples to distribute for him. So one might argue that in John's gospel in particular, we see a foreshadowing of the Eucharistic feast. And this assertion is further supported by the words from Jesus that we will hear in the gospel next week. "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." What impresses me so much about the community at Tizay is not their commitment to simplicity, but their desire to live by faith with thanksgiving. By Easter 1971, not even 10 years after the new church was consecrated, the brothers were faced with a dilemma. 6,000 young people had reserved to come to Taizé for Holy Week, and their church could only hold 2,000. Do you know what they did? They literally tore down their back wall and they put up a circus tent. Think 1960s Ringling Brothers, stripes like a small parasol on the top, circus tent. Can you imagine? Like, can you imagine knocking out the back wall of Christ in St. Luke's and putting up a tent? I mean, we can't do that, Olney's there. But what about the side wall here and taking out the Lynchgate Garden? I would not want to be a part of that vestry meeting. But God gave the brothers at Taizé an image of their church bursting at the seams, and that day had come. And they saw the need, and they met it with the resources they had available. And they did it by faith with thanksgiving. So it's no accident that we priests have the option to add these exact lines to the invitation to communion. Remember that Christ died for you and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. These lines are to remind us of the spiritual presence of Christ in the Eucharist and the individual experience that we have in receiving communion. It alludes to a changing of our hearts to live by faith with thanksgiving. And for those of you who participated in our adult formation class this past spring, it was on the Eucharist, you might remember that that statement was part of the Elizabethan settlement, the combining of two different books of common prayer with two very different understandings of the Eucharist into one book. It was a very Anglican choice. Someone saying, you must choose this kind of Eucharistic understanding over here on the left, or, you know, this one over here on the right, and Queen Elizabeth saying, no. We're going to create this third path, and we're going to kind of cram them together, you know, a little bit messily, but we're going to make space for both of them. So when a colleague asked the brothers of Taizé what the most difficult thing about living in community was, the answer was quick and brief. Communion. You see, the brothers come from all different Christian traditions, which hold very different beliefs about the Eucharist. Who can participate? What participation looks like? What the results of that participation are? And they said that it is raw and painful and a never-ending discussion on how best to move forward. We see these discussions reflected in the different versions of the feeding of the 5,000. Was Jesus blessing the bread or giving thanks? Did he personally distribute it or did he give it to the disciples to distribute? Could it be both or was it some third thing altogether that was simply experienced differently by different people? The brothers indicated that what helps them the most is to cling to faith. Faith that every brother wants to serve God in the way that Christ calls him to, and to be grateful for every day that they have together in community. And I wonder how living in this manner might change my attitude, reminding myself that someone is probably doing the best that they can at this point in time. Reminding myself, as Father Jared pointed out last week, that I have need for them to be a part of my community. Reminding myself to give thanks for the image of God at work in them. So perhaps I've been a little too harsh in my recollection of the bread that we were fed for breakfast at Taizé. After all, that bread did come with butter and a stick of dark chocolate and some of the best hot chocolate that one has ever tasted. I wonder if sometimes we get so much into a routine way of thinking about our experiences that we forget to approach life Eucharistically. We forget to consider all things through faith with thanksgiving. My prayer for you today is that in receiving the body of Christ, you might go out into the world with a changed heart and with renewed gratitude. Amen.